It has been an alarming number of people either emailing us or calling in. Complaining about the mischief happening on their families. I must say that 90% of the people who call are not members nor congregants. Notwithstanding, on a monthly basis, we have a high volume of people calling with sadness, with dissatisfaction with and for what is going on in their family life. I told you once that there was a young boy by the name of Tom. Tom was a sweet boy, and he used to go to a one-teacher school. You all know that, you know, it would be one class, big class, and you have first, second, third, fourth, 12th grade all in one class and one teacher. Finally, the parents found enough means to send Tom to a big school on the main town. Tom was misfortunate to get one of those old cranky teachers that was always complaining about something. You know, those kind of teachers that is always in a bad mood. And Tom would always be nervous, and he got all kind of messed up. And he was not able to keep up with the class. He was barely making. One day, the principal told Tom that after class he should go to his office. Tom was in panic, thinking that he was in trouble. So he's sitting down in the corridor waiting for the principal to come. The principal handed him an envelope and told Tom, "Make sure that your mother receives this envelope today, or you'll be in deep trouble." Tom basically got into panic mode. Imagine that he had done something wrong, you know. He would be really in trouble. He ran home. He handed the envelope to his mother. She told him, "Go eat, son. What's on the envelope?" "Relax, just go eat." Well, while Tom is eating, his mother read the letter. And the letter said, "Mrs. Edson, from this day forth, we can no longer have your child at school. He is the dumbest kid that has ever come into school ground. He's unable to learn, he's unable to keep up with the class, and therefore, he is dismissed from school from day forth. My suggestion is that you give him some tutoring home. Perhaps he might learn something." Being a good mother, as Mrs. Edson was, she closed the letter and kept, and little Tom finished eating and comes to the living room thinking that he was in trouble. "Mother?" "Yes, son." "Am I in trouble?" "No." "What was the letter all about?" "Well, the principal thinks that you are a wonderful child. And you are so wonderful that he's afraid he can no longer have you there. Because among all those children, there isn't one single smart, clever, sweet child as you are." Tom is, "Whoa. So I'm afraid that from today on, I'm going to have to teach you at home." Tom was a little confused, but he went along with it. And mother put in some hard work into Tom. always affirming Tom and telling Tom how good, how smart, how clever, how handsome he was. That man, that young boy, that was rejected by the school and his town, is the guy that created this thing here. Tonight you have light into this building because Thomas Edison, the dumb guy that was kicked out of school for being dumb and stupid, was so brilliant that he invented the bulb. Tonight, the title of my meditation, and I'm going to stay on this topic for a few weeks. Many times our children, our spouses, our grandchildren will not come out as we wish they would. Some children, some spouses are very difficult to deal with. And sometimes you really, 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 really need a ton of grace to put up with their nonsense. Notwithstanding, this does not give anyone the right to speak negative things into the life of their families. So what's the title of your sermon again? Speaking blessings over our families.
Amen.
Now, perhaps you have already been through this process. Perhaps while growing up, your parents, your neighbors, your family may have told you how dumb you were. If that has already happened, I'm here to tell you tonight that in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, there is a relief for those of us who had to go through such a difficult time. May I have Proverbs 26, 2 on the New Living Translation? It's the best translation. I was looking in Hebrew. The NLT is the closest one to the Hebrew New Testament. Read it with me. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. There are times that we as children may have done, may have said, may have behaved or acted up in an improper way. Some parents will go to one or the other extreme. They will either curse the child or hit them so hard in anger that in many cases they lame the children. Some words can be worse than a 2x4. The damage that is caused by negative speaking may take a lifetime to be repaired. Well, this has been spoken over my life all my life. It's too late. It is never too late to God, because God does not live under the influence of time. Keep in mind that an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. In my case, my father said I was so dumb, if I was two, I would be dumb twice. poor guy. He doesn't know what he missed. I have a doctor's degree. I don't brag about it. But I'm anything but dumb. I can tell you that. Why is that? An undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. Amen. I am one to challenge you today to get into an agreement with me. Can we agree? And I want somebody to remind me 40 days from today. Can I have somebody that will remind? Preacher, today's 40 days. Or maybe we should do it 7 weeks. Can we do that?
Yes.
Let's get into an agreement today that within the next 7 weeks, we will refrain ourselves from saying negative things over our family members. How many have been? Can we agree on that?
Yes.
For 7 weeks. Every time that we get upset and we want to say something negative, we pull on the brakes, take a deep breath, and speak the opposite. Can we agree on this?
Yes.
Well, but you don't know what this boy is doing. Well, I can tell you one thing for sure. Cursing the child ain't gonna make him better. Are you with me here? This past Tuesday, I showed the church a scripture that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Contrary to popular belief, when people quote that verse, they always say it's life and death. No, it's the opposite. Death and life. Why? Because the majority of times we get angry, we get upset, we get disgusted, deception comes in, disappointment comes in, and the tendency is always to speak negative. Although a curse, an undeserved curse, will not land on the intended person, it will build a negative feeling on the other person's nature. Are we still together? There's a story down south that this little boy, his head was a little bit bigger than everybody else's head. So everybody in the neighborhood would pick him, call him Big Head. Well, one day, he got fed up. He said, Dad, am I a big head? He said, no, son. They don't know what they're talking. Why everybody call me Big Head? Because they're jealous of your beautiful head. Now, can you go to the market for Daddy? Yes. What do you want me to bring? I need you to bring me 2 pumpkins, 2 watermelons, 25 oranges, and by the way, grab me a few strawberries. Wow, I can take the little cart? No, you can bring a new little cap. Put all in little cap. You missed it. He couldn't take the little cart. Could all be placed on his little cap. You know, baseball cap. Despite of the fact that the young man had a big head, in Daddy's eyes, his head was the most beautiful head. And that young man grew up to be one of the finest doctors in our town. The power of affirmativeness is so strong that it can do miracles. Then you may say, preacher, I don't even know how to start, where to start. I'm going to be giving you in the next few weeks a bunch of scriptures that you will have to be creative and improvise and speak those blessings upon your family. Before we can start on this, let me say to you that Jesus Christ is our covenant. What do we mean by that? Salvation through Jesus Christ can and will drive demons out of our families.
Amen.
As individuals in the family accept Christ, deliverance comes. Family strongholds are broken. Generational curses are broken. And generational spirits are cast out. Jesus Christ came to resolve the agony. Jesus Christ came to resolve the dissension that there may be among family. I was close to a couple recently, and I was feeling disturbed in my spirit because every 2 minutes, they were arguing about something. I'm thinking, my goodness, how could you live a life like this? She won't back down, the man said. And when the woman was asked what husband means, to her she said, garbage. And that there is that tension on the family. Let's start by resolving one thing here. Jesus Christ is our peace. Amen. When Jesus Christ comes into our hearts as our personal Savior, guess what? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, peace will begin to reign in the life of our families. Listen to Ephesians 2:14. For he himself, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Every family will have their rough moments. And sometimes because of a mal spoken word, a wall may be erected between family members. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is your peace. Jesus Christ is the peace of your family. Don't settle for less. Jesus Christ is our shalom. And when Jesus Christ is present on the family, the wall of separation between family members will come down. Say with me, Lord Jesus,
I make you
the shalom in my family.
I make you
the Prince of Peace
over my household.
And I'm asking you
to destroy
any wall of separation.
In your name,
amen. Gideon did something very interesting. Judges chapter 6, verse 24, we have the following scripture. Read it with me. So, Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. Abiezer writes, so what's the big deal here? Peace has to be built. That's got to be an altar for God in our house where we will pursue peace. And sometimes, in order to keep that altar on and strong, we will have to bite our tongue. Thank you, brother. I was visiting with a couple. And the husband thought that the wife is not in the bright side. This woman is so dumb. She is dumb as a doorknob. Then I look at the doorknob. I don't see what is dumb on this. If you just press it down, it will open the door. If you, press it up, it locks the door. He said that, and she was passing by. She said, I love you too, honey. Why does she do that? The guy could not continue on the argument. Are you with me? An altar of peace must be built in our houses. We have to have the desire to build an altar to the Lord and call that altar Jehovah Shalom, or Adonai Shalom, the Lord of Peace. There are many of us that are always ready to fight. Many of us, if things don't go our way, we have our block, our glove boxes, box gloves on, ready to punch. I know y'all don't do this. But out there, you know, many of us, we are ready. If something don't go my way, why is this? Peace is something that we must desire. That altar didn't come in there by itself. Somebody had to build it. Are you with me here? You've got to be looking for peace. You've got to be desiring to have peace in order for peace to reign in our homes. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, preacher, so are you done? No, I am not. Christ comes to drive all evil beasts, which are demons, out of our family lives. That is found in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 25. Will you care? Would you care to read it with me? I will make a covenant of and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell. When the presence of God is present, wild beasts, demons, will be driven away from our sleeping place, from our dwelling place. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I'm opening the door of my house. Feel free to drive away every wild beast, every demon that is interfering on the peace of my house. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, because of Jesus, we have been grafted in the lineage of Abraham. We can claim every covenantal promise in the Bible for our families. Throughout this next week, few weeks, I'm going to lead you in several declarations and the benefits of being in covenant with God. I want you to remember and I want you to claim with the strength and authority every single promise that you're going to be taught. Because in 2 Corinthians 1:20, we learn that for all
the promises of God
are yes, yes, amen.
Children, let's do it together. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So you're going to be learning new promises, new way of speaking and blessings over your family. And I want you to embrace it. I want you to grab it. There's going to be days that things are going to be so difficult that you will not have no stimulus, no motivation. Do it. Even when you don't feel like. You know, some couples are having problem hearing, but they don't want to admit. And some couples don't like to repeat themselves. Do I have an amen here?
Amen.
Thank you. Can you take the trash out? Huh? Can you take the trash out? What? Can you take the trash out? You don't have to scream. Are you with me so far? So there's going to be times that we will need to get a hold of God's promise and speak it firmly. Why? Because all of God's promises in Christ Jesus are
yes
and in Him. Amen. That means that when you start speaking these promises over your family, it got to come to pass. Well, I did and nothing happened. Do it again. I did. Nothing happened. Do it again. How long do I have to do it? Until it come to pass. That's all. What if I do for 1 year? Do it for 2. Do it for 3. What? Yeah. If it comes to 10 years, do it for 10 years. It's better than be speaking negative of your family. Because of the fact that we are speaking negative over our families, marriages are breaking apart, children are miserable, failing in school and the whole 9 yards, and then we don't know why am I laughing so messed up. Perhaps if instead of talking negative, we start blessing our families, things might change. We are still together, right? Here are some promises, and I'm going to give you 2 or 3 today. But at the end, can you put Numbers 4:18 up on the screen? And this is how you're going to do this. Watch. Read it with me. Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. What kind of blessing I have here? What can I speak to my family? There's something here. I'll read it for you again. Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. What blessing can I speak, preacher? You ready? My family will not be cut off from the church of the living God. Where did you get that? The Levites are the people who serve in the presence of God. Is that correct? The promise is, my family will not be cut off from the family of God. Say it with me. My family will not be cut off from the family of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, verse 19, Brother Dion, can you give me verse 19? Read it with me. But do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task. What is the blessing here, preacher? My family will live and not die. Can you say that with me? My family will live and not die in the name of Jesus. I'm even thinking about typing this thing for you. When we go to Joshua chapter 15, verse 20, there's another promise in there. Would you care to read it with me? This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their family. What promise can I have in here? There you go. Somebody got it. So you're going to pray, my family shall have an inheritance. Say with me, my family shall have an inheritance. A big one, that's right. Somebody said, but brother, I'm living for minimum wage. And so what? Are you saying that God is limited? I'm a preacher. But I'll tell you this. My family shall have an inheritance. Where is it coming from? I don't know. And I don't care. But the book says, this was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah. That means that God is waiting for our children to have an inheritance. So I can bless my family. My family shall have an inheritance. End of story. In Jesus' name. When you go to Genesis 31:3, it's interesting. I love this. Genesis 31:3. Read it with me. Then the Lord said to Jacob, that's sweet. What kind of blessing can I extract from this? That's right. The Lord will be with my family. If the Lord is with you, it will go through the kids. They are not serving God. So what? Are you limiting God? Come on now. Say with me, the Lord
will be
with my family.
The devil
can't have them.
In Jesus' name.
Shall I continue? Let me give you one or two more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Well, maybe two more. Well, we're going to have enough Sunday evenings to bless our families. Amen? Let's go to Joshua 13:19. Read it with me. Kiriathaim. Sibma, Zareth, Shahar, on the mountain valley. What? Oh boy, I messed up this one. Oh, that's right. These were places that were appointed by God to the tribe of Judah. Those were the names of the towns that God appointed to the descendants of the tribe of Judah. That was their inheritance.
This is the hills of Judea.
Huh?
This is the hills of Judea.
Also, it's part of the hills of Judea. Now I want you to say with me, my family shall have a place to dwell. As the tribe of Judah had. In Jesus' name. I will have no homeless on my family. In Jesus' name. In 1 Chronicles 4:38, there's something else that we can use. 1 Chronicles 4:38. Read it with me. These mentioned by name were leaders in their families and their father's house. But can we bless our family with? Say with me, my God will increase the number of leaders in my family as he did on the days of old. My family will increase greatly in the name of Jesus. You know, this is kind of fun. I like this. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16:28. Would you care to read it with me? Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord and the strength. So the question is, what can I bless my family with? For those of us who have children that don't want to come to church, or don't want to hear or know about the things of God, you can bless them by saying, "My family will give glory and strength to the name of the Lord." Well, if they're backslided, they want to do that. But when you start prophesying over their lives, when you start speaking, God's going to get a hold of them. God's going to knock them off of their shoes. And this is why I say, my family will give the Lord glory and strength in the name of Jesus. Whether they like it or not. Say amen. Let me give you one more verse and then we stop for tonight. Psalms 107, 41. And this one is a little tricky one. But I think you are smart enough to get it. Would you care to read it with me? Yet he set the poor on high, far from affliction. Now tell me somebody, how could we bless our family with this scripture? Say with me, the Lord will set the poor people in my family high and far from affliction. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm challenging you now for the next 7 weeks. Every time that you're about to say something negative, every time that you're about to curse, or to get mad, or to speak in anger, pull the brakes. Bless your family. Can we do that? What if I messed up? All right, go back, say, I'm sorry, hon. Please forgive me. Then kiss him or her. Start all over again. Folks, when we are in the flesh, it's always easier to curse than to bless. When we are upset, when we are angry, it is always easier to say a bad word, a negative word, instead of a positive word. But you know what? We are of the light. Amen. We are children of the light. Amen. We know better. And we want our families to succeed. Is that correct?
Amen.
Then, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to train ourselves to speak blessings, to speak positive words, to speak good things into life. Romans 4:17 says that Abraham called into existence the things that were not, as if they were. Thomas Edison's mother was a wise woman. Despite of the bad report given by the teacher and principal, he took the higher road. Thomas, you're smart, you're clever, you're good looking, you're the best kid on the block. And look at this. So many times I pick up a bulb. One time I broke the bulb. I want to look it inside. I look it inside. How did this dude have that idea to do this? And I marvel about this. You know, the dumb kid at school created this. I'm going to end with a story. There was a man in England. That had a child. He was a poor man, and on those days, there wasn't black people around to be slaves, so the white people had their own white people being slaves. The man wasn't a slave, but he was a worker for a farm. And his son didn't have toys to play with. So the way that boy played was jumping on the pond, on the little lake around, and swimming, running around barefoot. That was his recreation. Well, the next town over had a very rich family. And one day, the child of that family wandered away and came to the town where this poor boy was. And he sees the boy having a ton of fun. He wants to jump on the water too. But being a rich kid, you know, having always people to attend you, the kid was spoiled and did not know how to fend for himself. Well, disobeying the mistress that was taking care of him, he jumped into the lake, on the pond, and he succumbing. The poor child saw him succumbing, ran, jumped into the lake, dragged him out, and then he started doing CPR. And that child was saved. So the maid sent a message, the father came and took. Time went by. The man came back and said, "How can I pay you for what you did to my son? He's my only son." The man said, "We don't want your money." "But mom said, we wish you could send our child to school." That rich man paid for that child's school from elementary all the way to university. Being at the university, this kid that saved the rich child discovered a medicine. He invented that medicine. While in school, the rich kid fell ill with an infection that was incurable. The rumors went around that this young student had invented a medicine that they call penicillin. And the father of the rich child was willing to take a shot because he didn't want to lose his child. The penicillin went into the system and the young man was healed. So after he's healed, he wants to go to see and to get to know the guy who invented the penicillin. And for his surprise, was the kid that had saved him years before. You know, sometimes a word can go a long way. It can go a long way. And I wish so much that we would change the way that we approach our family, that we approach our family members, our church family. I wish you and I could understand that your word has the power to build up someone and at the same time to tear them down. May God grant us the ability to continuously bless our families instead of cursing them. God bless you.